You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're continuing the series that we started a few weeks ago called New Normal. And here's the idea, here's the question that we're asking in this series. The question is this: what if there are some things in our lives that don't need to go back to what they used to be before? As we're all kind of wondering what this new normal is going to look like for us in this next season of life, just maybe, what if there are some things that don't need to go back to what they used to be before? Maybe God is moving us into a whole new season, and it's time for us to embrace the new thing, the new normal that He has for us. So today, I want to talk to you about the topic of unity. Can I just be honest with you for a moment? A few months ago, when we planned this series, I had no idea that we were going to go from a global pandemic to a racial crisis. And there were all kinds of topics that I planned on teaching on. I had no idea that we were going to rearrange this whole series. And truthfully, this week, I kind of found myself wanting to move on to some new topics. But I had a tug in my spirit to just camp out on this subject of unity for just another week. Just something in my spirit. We need to talk about this, because let me just tell you, what's normal right now is disunity. What's normal in our world, in our culture, in our country is a lot of disunity. You know, the truth is that a crisis can actually be a catalyst to bring us together. We've seen that before in our nation. When I think about something like the 9/11 terrorist attacks, you know, for just a brief moment there, our country pulled together. There was this sense of unity that we were all in this together to move forward and to heal, and it brought people together. Sadly, our current crisis, that has not been the case. I mean, COVID quickly became divisive really fast. We were a few weeks into it, and you know, clearly they became different voices, different camps. You know, some voices saying, we've got to shut everything down. We've got to go into lockdown. We've got to do whatever it takes to save lives. Some others were saying, no, we got to reopen this thing up. We got to get the economy open, because the damage to the economy is going to be more damaging than the actual virus itself. And from then on out, it was like total disunity. You know, now I see people fighting over wearing masks on social media. You know, there are some people who are like, you know, what's wrong with you? If you don't wear a mask, you ought to have a guilty conscience. You could be carrying the virus and have no idea. You could be spreading it to people. You could kill somebody. Do you want blood on your hands? Then there are other people who are like, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm an American and I have rights. The government wants you to wear a mask. That's how it starts. And then the deep state ends up taking away all of your rights. And then people just get into crazy stuff from there. I mean, things have gotten so divisive. And then as if things weren't bad enough, we had the tragic deaths of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, and now the division that's in our nation, it's at a whole nother level. I feel like I could go on Facebook right now and post, the sky is blue, and somebody would say, no, it's not. Let me give you a piece of my mind. Like, people are just, you know, it's divisive. People are looking to fight about anything. And here's what I want to tell you, church. If we're not careful, that divisiveness, it can creep into our hearts. That disunity, it can actually begin to affect our thinking, our hearts. It can even cause us to experience disunity in the church. In fact, I see Christians on social media going at each other. And here's the thing. When we become divided and disunified, we become weak and ineffective. And so my prayer for you is the same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. He prayed this: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Did you notice all of the ones in this passage? All of the ones in this passage? You know, there's not a lot of oneness happening right now in our world, is there? And we're all really mindful of the things that divide us. We all know the topics and the issues that are dividing us right now. The question is, what is it that can actually bring us together? You know, Jesus prayed about this very thing on the night that he was arrested, right before he would go to the cross. This was on his heart. This was on his mind. In fact, we see this in one of his very last prayers for the disciples. And this is really a prayer for us. It's found in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 24. Think about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here's what he said. My prayer is not for them alone. In other words, I'm not just praying for my immediate disciples, the very first apostles. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. Christians who 2,000 years later believe because of the message that was passed on down to us from the apostles. Here's what he goes on to say, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. When we're one, we reveal the glory of God to the world around us. And here's what he goes on to say. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What's at stake here, church? Here's what Jesus says. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. If we don't get this right,